This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Ruffled Feathers, your St. Louis Cardinals podcast, brought to you by our friends at Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinal fan podcast. As always, coming to you from the patio studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Want to talk a little bit today about the exit. We haven't really done anything since the Cardinals were eliminated. As they were. Obviously, talk a little bit about what people are talking about out there. I'm finding it, you know, it's that time where people have went through the what happened, where were we not good enough, who failed, who did this, what's the problem. Now we're getting into next year and what people would like to see. So we can talk a little bit about that today and have some fun with it, of course, because ultimately at the end of the day, we better be having some fun with this or we're all going to be in for a big letdown, in my opinion. So let's chat a little bit about it and talk about St. Louis Cardinal baseball as it relates to this moment in time, which is anything but normal. Let me welcome in a guy who I obviously respect his opinion, but also love the back and forth. It's more fun when he doesn't agree with me, and we can have some fun, but we agree with each other probably too much. And that's my friend and yours, Ron Nuttall. Ron, what's going on?
Hey, Jim, I wish we were talking under other circumstances, but there were no Cardinals uniforms, post wild card series, but there were certainly a lot of former Cardinals playing in the division yes. round, which has ignited and set Cardinals Twitter land on fire, Facebook land too.
Yeah, and I probably didn't do that topic enough justice in the intro, as that seems to be the majority of what people are talking about, although it's almost become Mr. Rosarena is doing so well that I think it's like beating a dead horse. I will address one thing on here today, which I think is pretty neat, and we'll go from there, but about it and have some fun. But I will say this. I'm right there with everybody when it comes to this. You know, you're watching Luke Voit contribute. You're watching Rosarena, I would say more than contribute, especially both of them. You know, you see these guys out here playing on other teams and they contribute. I'm okay, but obviously, and then number one, I don't have to be okay with it. As a fan, you can do what you want. I'm okay with watching these guys perform at a high level on the grandest stage and being upset, for sure. I will say, however, though, that, you know, lumping that in with some other things has me going. Like, I saw somebody the other day put something out there about Lance Lynn. Well, let me tell you something. The year after Lance Lynn left here, he was terrible.
Yeah, with Minnesota. Yeah, he had a rough year.
Yeah, like, you know, there was a middle reliever. Who the hell was it the other day? Mike Myers had a nice season for L.A., and everybody's acting like – and I'm like, wait a minute. Time out. Okay, he's a reliever, which if people haven't figured out this reliever thing yet, I can't help them. Okay, like I can't help you. But I will say, the Arozarena thing to me, I will say this. He could have not even been in the lineup for Tampa Bay in the playoffs, and I didn't like that move. And the reason is this. We talk all the time about minor leagues, what it means and how it translates. And I don't know that there's there's nobody out there that has that figured out, like can honestly say, this guy definitely is going to perform in the major leagues close to what he's doing. There's too many guys that are great in the minor leagues and then can't cut it at the big league level. There's guys that get a cup of coffee at the big league level and all of a sudden they stick and they just keep improving and they get better. It's a weird thing. Now, would I rather have the guy that dominated in the minor leagues and sure looks like a stud athlete and has all the, like, of course, well, who wouldn't? That doesn't mean that there can't miss guys. That being said, Rosarena did a lot of things that, you know, you sit there and go, man, like, why in the world wouldn't we have given him a chance here? So, I mean, he is, without question for me, the one guy that I'm sitting here going, okay, where was the disconnect? What exactly was the disconnect here? Did he not do something in the minor leagues that we're looking at going, I don't know that I saw that. I will say this. He sure right now looks like a guy that's going to hit a bunch of home runs. I don't know if you looked at him in the minor leagues and thought he's going to do that. But, you know, he sure looked like he could hit, although, like, there's nothing crazy in the minor leagues that tells me he, like, I just don't know that there's anything outside of, you know, again, being able to check out a guy's athleticism, what you like about him. Like, they've had other guys roll through here that had good minor league careers that just were whatever. Now, I will say this, a couple things that I do, you know, anytime, and again, I'm not the biggest numbers guy in the world. Like, there are certain ones that I think can tell you the story. You know, I'm a big believer in, I think a lot of times numbers are used to try to tell me somebody's better than what they are. The sooner or later, you have to get it done. I don't really care, you know, what the background looks like. But anytime you have an OPS of one or better, I mean, or you're in the nines, that's pretty impressive. And he's had that in the minor leagues. Hitting's tough, right? Like Mike Matheny, hitting's hard. Well, I mean, I know people made fun of him for that, but that's a factual statement.
Yeah.
Will Randy Arozarena be a dude forever? I'm not, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Good for him. He's like said, I'm here. That being said, something I've seen that I will address. I had a conversation with a guy that I really enjoy, and I think he listens sometimes. I'm not going to say he listens every show. He sent me a private message, and you'll get a kick out of this, I think, Ron.
Okay.
He asked me if I knew anything about something. And, you know, and I was very honest with him and told him, and I've said it on the show before, I know lots of things that I can't talk about. For a couple of reasons. Number one, if I did talk about them, so-and-so would get said, hey, what are you doing? You're not supposed to talk about that. And then they would get, and we all know who we're talking about here. Let's be frank.
Yep.
So then, and then it would be, okay, well, I'm not going to tell, you know, or get mad or whatever. And then it's just not good. Right. So I don't talk about those things. Okay. Something I think I'm pretty comfortable talking about because I don't see any reason why anybody would have a problem with this is I've seen people say that he 100% got traded because of what happened in the locker room.
I find that hard to believe, but yeah, go ahead.
I can tell you unequivocally that there's no doubt that somebody went to Mike Schilt and said, hey, how do you want us to handle this? And Mike Schilt, to a man, said, listen, he's a young guy that thought he was going to record an awesome we just won speech. He had no idea that I was going to do what I did.
Yeah.
I'm Mike Schilt, to his credit, was like, look, he's not his fault.
Yeah.
So that had zero, and I think it's okay for me to say this. I know for a fact that that was not an issue.
I think most reasonable people, Jim, assume the same thing.
I don't
thing.
Know. You say that, but I don't agree with
well,
you.
Well,
I, people that I know and think a lot of, I have seen on social media say, 100%, well, that's the only reason he could have been traded.
Is that the loud minority speaking, though, right? I mean, that's usually what we run into, but I think most level-headed people look at this and go, he's a kid. Bad judgment on his part putting the video out after he shot it, but that's I would really have to stretch my imagination to believe that they traded him because of that. No way, right? So, not surprised.
And again, people look at what he did there, and should he have done that? Like I said, you don't have to be a rock science to know that here's a rookie. He's part of something that's unbelievable, and he thinks he's going to record this just awesome celebration.
Right.
He has no idea that that's going to happen. Now, people that have been around would say, hey, that's why you don't record that live, right?
Right.
And that's exactly, and again, this is, we're going back now, but I'm almost 100% sure that's exactly what was said. Like, it's a teaching moment, okay?
Yeah.
He, like, great, and Mike Schilt even said it, the greatest kid, loved him. We're going to move on from here, you know? And listen, as far as like Schilt, like, well, it made Schilt look bad dropping F-bombs. Coaches drop F-bombs. And let me tell you something. If you ever needed to know if they drop F-bombs, watch a game this year because you can hear it all.
Yeah, you can hear it a lot better than you can normally. And by the way, it's not surprising to hear a major league manager or an NFL coach or an NHL manager use words that you're not going to hear them typically when a microphone's in front of their face. But I tell you what, it did give Mike Schilt, who appears, you know, with his glasses and everything, appears a pretty minor, a mild-mannered fellow that would buy the 2-year protection plan at Best Buy on any purchase.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it did give him some points there, some style points, I think. So,
I think so.
Yeah.
I will say this. I'm not sure. Let's get down to the crux of this thing here. Who is Randy Arozarena?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who I think he is or anybody thinks he is. Good for him. I will say this. Again, going down a list of guys that we've chased after, okay, for a while now, we seems like we've chased after a couple of guys, and we had them. Now, how do you know you have them? I don't have an answer to that question because, you know, I will say this. Small sample size, of course. I was about as unimpressed with Luke Voit, the limited amount of action he had here.
Yeah,
there was not one thing I saw in the action he did have. I don't care. I don't care what it is.
Well, let me comment on the Arozarena thing, right? Before we move on to Luke Voit. I kind of agree with you on what you at least initially said on Luke Voit. Now with the Arozarena thing, Jim, I think we both shared a tweet by Rusty Groppel. Groppel, I don't know how you say his last name, but his handle is @HES_verygood. He's very good. About the whole Arozarena thing. It was a long thread. I think you shared it. I shared it too. So I think I must've been looking at it about the same time you did. It boils down to this, I think, for Arozarena. First of all, I'm never going to celebrate or wish for a guy to not succeed just because he's a former farmhand or a former Cardinal. I think that's ridiculous. But I think when it comes down to it here, what he's identifying is, why weren't they giving him an opportunity once he was up here? You know, why were other people getting slotted in the outfield in front? If you had him up here, he just didn't get enough, and instead it appears as though you already had other guys tabbed for those outfield positions and you just weren't giving him any kind of sort of test or extended look whatsoever. It's like they've identified Bader as being that guy in center field. He's going to be it. Just like going into this year, Jim, it's like, you know, Tyler O'Neill was first in line in left field. I think it's their evaluation of these players. Like, it seems like they already tab them, like, oh, that's him, you know, and so those guys continually get opportunities ahead of some of these other guys that you might look at and go, well, that's a little bit riskier to give him playing time out here. And it hasn't worked for him. That's the bottom line. We're used to this working for the Cardinals. We're used to the Cardinals getting away with trades over the last 20 years, right? Look who they gave up for Matt Holliday. What did Brett Wallace ever become? And
Listen, I've said, you know this, I've said 100 times in here, give me a guy that we traded that you look back and go, oh, shit.
And we're seeing it now, but other clubs have been, Cardinals have been fleecing other clubs for a very long time. The league's caught up, and in some ways, teams like Tampa Bay are ahead of them as far as evaluation, or at least it appears that way right now.
Well, here's my thing about that. I want to say, on that note. I've said this for a long, long time. Teams like Tampa Bay and Miami, this isn't a statement of statistical fact. This is fact. When you have a club that doesn't have the quote unquote financial means to have invested huge deals, it's a lot easier, and people would say this, I think, to say, you know what, we're going to plug this guy in, mm-hmm. and we're going to see what he can do. Is that good or bad?
I guess out of necessity, with some clubs.
The bottom line is this. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. What you see in Miami and what you see in Tampa and other places is these people that don't have these large contracts, they give these guys an opportunity to play because they don't really have any other choice.
Out of necessity, you know? Right.
Like, hey, you're going to play here, yep. right? So I think what we're finding is there sustained success from some of these guys? We'd have to go back and look at it. I don't know, just define sustain, because while they've had some nice runs, what have they done on the consistent? But what I will say is this. What we learn real quick is every guy that's on a major league roster or at AAA or even in AA can play. They're all really talented and all really good. And there is a certain defining factor that makes you a contributing big leaguer on a consistent basis. And it's a very small, very small something that makes you not. Now, what is that? I've talked about it before as a coach or a guy on the field or whatever. What you see. And again, now we're talking about amateurs, but it's even more so at that level. But it stands to reason that certain guys, it comes down to approach. It comes down to mental. That's why people get so bent out of shape when people talk about the mental approach of Carlos Martinez, and people act like there's something wrong with that. It's a fact. It's been a fact forever for every player. Certain guys are not good because they don't have the physical ability that other guys have. Lots of guys have this immense physical ability and can't handle the mental rigors of the game. Like, there's a variety of reasons. And it's okay. It doesn't matter, like, what it is. The bottom line is, this is the highest level in the world. You either get it done or you don't. Now, the best part of being a fan and doing stuff like we do is it's awesome to sit back later and pick it apart, because we have the luxury of doing so based off what we've seen happen. Mm-hmm. Like I say all the time, like I've wanted to do this for a long, long time. Okay. But here's how this works. I wanted to say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. And Ron, you'd probably get a kick out of this. Okay. All these armchair managers and GMs, I want to know right now who's going to do what. Tell me right now. But see, when it didn't work out, those people would come up with an excuse. Well, the hitting coach obviously did a poor job, because everything I've ever seen says this guy should be a hitter. Or who? That's a terribly called pitch. Or they're not using him properly out of the bullpen. If they would use him the way, like, no. Benji, all these guys will tell you, you're on the major league roster, man. You're there to play. You're there to play. There are no baby. There are no, ooh, we're going to develop this guy and take our time. Bullshit. This is the major leagues. You don't develop people at the major league level. They're there to play and contribute. And again, it should be the better players play.
Yeah.
I think that at the end of the day is what we're dealing with in St. Louis is I don't think the better players are playing.
Yeah. I mean, it's for some, it takes a really long time to get there, right? But that's a very simple way to sum it up. And I think the criticism over deals like with Randy and with you can point to a few others maybe, is that they gave the wrong guy they gave a lion's share of the opportunities just to the wrong guy. Like they missed the mark as far as valuation. And if you boil it, that's just the simplest way to say it. They're missing it somewhere with the front off. I don't know who to point to. I don't know what group of individuals to point to. It doesn't really matter at this point, but like, where is the disconnect? And I think that's what Cardinal fans that are paying attention and read about this stuff, that's what we're trying to kind of like get our heads around, is where is the disconnect? Is Mo the common denominator? Is it the guy who writes out the lineup? Is it scouting? Like what's going on where we're missing the mark? Because we held on to a couple cards. We held on to Bader, O'Neill, let other guys go. And now they're showing up around the league. So very easy to go, well, you know, one, you picked the wrong guy. But, I mean, going back to that situation, that point in time, you mentioned Luke Voit earlier. What were you going to do with Paul Goldschmidt at first base? What were you going to do? He wasn't going to play anywhere. The DH did not exist in the National League, by the way, folks. If you go back and remember, the DH was not a thing yet.
Well, this is an example of what we're talking about here. After the fact, Now you can easily go back and say, well, you shouldn't have spent that money on Paul Goldschmidt. You had Luke Voit, who makes the major league minimum, and you could have spent that money doing something else.
Yeah.
But it's easy to go back and do that. There's not a person on this planet that at that time, if you said, should we get Paul Goldschmidt or should we just turn this job over to Luke Voit? Nobody in their right mind would say, turn it over to Luke Voit.
No, in fact, they were turning it over to Jose Martinez or Matt Carpenter before they even turned it over to Luke Voit.
So, you know what? Luke Voit's trade is the way it should work. Here's a guy that you were able to use. And let's face it, you got back a nice piece for him. He's went somewhere and taken advantage of the situation. I would call it taking advantage of the situation. If I'm not mistaken, I think his numbers at home in that BAM box he plays in are awfully good, and they're not as great on the road.
Yeah, I have to look at the splits.
We all know that this is not the best stadium in the world for guys like that. And again, I'm not even like that's. I don't need somebody to give me a bunch of stats on that. I can see it with my own eyes.
Well, Jim,
I see it play out all the time. I see all kinds of balls guys hit on the road that carry out in the power alleys that just don't go out here.
Yeah, exactly.
For whatever reason.
Yep, exactly. I mean, look at what Houston for years has done to right-handed batters, where you know they weren't going to see the same thing batting in Seattle or Petco or anywhere else. But you know, we mentioned the Rose or anything. Like we can't judge this deal yet because we don't know about Matthew Liberatore. And by the way, the Cardinals had graduated so many starters up to the big league level that it made sense for them with a surplus of outfielders. Surplus of outfielders kind of restock. And by the way, Liberatore is a top 100 prospect at the time they dealt for him. Rosarena was not. So I mean, ultimately, we don't know how this deal shakes out until that we see what happens with that kid.
Well, and I think everybody knows where I stand on this. That's great if you're a top 100 prospect. That you still haven't done anything at the big league level. There's all kinds of guys that were top prospects that when they get to the big league level, I watch them and go, how is this guy? Like, there's a guy, like, I'm not that impressed with Adele in L.A. Mm-hmm. for the Angels. Like, I watch him play and I go, what, who watched this guy and thought he's a can't-miss top? Like, I don't know. I've watched it for years. I've watched guys throw the baseball in from the outfield. And I want to say, who the hell said this guy's a 5-tool player? He can't throw. Like, it's terrible.
Well, not John Jay.
You know, so my point is, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. The bottom line is, whether you're the number one prospect in baseball or you're not a prospect in baseball, if you are what the club would consider to be a prospect, sooner or later you're going to get a chance. And what you do with that chance is really all that matters. Randy Rosarena is doing something with his chance. Now, you know, the one thing that will not change here is I've said it before. Like, if I could ask, you know, it's funny because I believe I have my answer to this question from other sources, but if I always said that if I could have a beer with Mike Matheny, I would say, why Brandon Moss for 90 at-bats? Why? Okay. I honest to God would do the same thing with the Bader and a Rosarena thing. You didn't have Harrison Bader last year when you, number one, you waited forever to bring a Rosarena up after all he did was tear it up last year. It isn't like you had guys up here fucking killing it last year.
No, in fact, Bader went down for a stint, brought him right back up for his bobblehead night, right?
And when he was here, he was terrible.
Yeah.
He was terrible. And I, as much as I love the way Jose Martinez swings the bat, he couldn't play outfield.
It's pretty scary.
Dexter Fowler, his bounce back year, was still not good enough. Tyler O'Neill, not good enough. Must we go on?
No, we've beat that horse many times. At least I have on here about the disappointment with the outfield. And when you look at the, after the year wraps up, you go, boy, Dexter Fowler, he was our best outfielder from a production standpoint, right? One of the best. Well, I guess you're going to point, most would point at Bader and his OPS being what it was to end the year. Still, you look at it and you go, Fowler was our most, well, was probably our best outfielder if you look at it from beginning to end.
Well, I mean, and everybody says Marcelo Zuna had an underrated 2019. But if you're, okay, so here's my point, and I guess this is where I'm going with this. If you were going to tell me, look, Jim, Ozuna's going to play every day, I'd go, okay. But how in the world does Randy Arozarena not get a chance now? For the people out there that love numbers and stats, let me tell you one of the reasons why I think he wasn't viewed the way you might view him. Because people love numbers, right? Well, guess what numbers I promise you they really didn't like about him compared to some of these other guys? 5'11", 170 pounds.
Yeah.
I don't know how good of an outfielder he is. I don't know about you, but I was a little shocked the other day to see that he was the DH.
That might tell you something. Now, or the guys in Tampa are really good.
Kevin Kiermaier's a dude.
Yeah.
You know, so they've got some pretty good outfielders there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. Maybe, and I don't know enough. Maybe they don't, maybe they didn't feel Randy Arozarena was a very good defensive outfielder. You know, coming from who, though? Coming from guys that told me that this guy and this guy were could do this and do that. I still, to this day, like, I'm the biggest, like, I have no idea what anybody's ever saw in Lane Thomas that makes him go, this dude is good. Nothing, nothing. I see nothing in Lane Thomas or Tyler O'Neill. Now, the Tyler O'Neill thing I get, right? If you're, because I've said this 100 times. If you're going to put a guy out there that really isn't that great, put a guy out there that might hit a three-run homer for you. You might as well. So I get that. But we have guys playing that I never thought were very good. And you had a guy that I don't really care what your internal thought was, of him was. Judging by what he did in the minor leagues, he certainly couldn't have been any worse. And I think that's what it comes down to for me. Like, there is no way on God's green earth, now I'm getting into where I was going, if I was to sit down with John Mozeliak and say, what the shit? Randy Arozarena could not have been any worse than every outfielder, I promise you, you had starting in 2019, other than maybe Marcelo Zuna.
Yeah.
I like, there's no way. You'll never convince me. Well, there's no way.
Okay, consider this, though. So Arozarena was part of that deal. Right, with Tampa Bay. Do we, and I don't know
what. Now you're going to get into another thing, though, because deals are more complicated than we.
Yeah. Well, that's where I was going.
Let's talk about the deal, though. But before we do, let's remind people to check us out. TwoBirdsOnABat.com. Okay. We're going to ask you guys click subscribe to the podcast. Takes 30 seconds. And then you guys will always get notifications whenever we put the new show out. We're going to ask you to check us out on our social media sites at BirdsOnABatShow for Twitter. Please follow us. Two Birds and a Bat on Facebook, Two Birds and a Bat Show on Instagram, and at lineupmediagroup.fm, where you can also download your radio, the streaming platform for your mobile device. Our partners are so important to us, and we're going to ask you to support them. You know, with all the crazy stuff going on, they need you now more than ever. Don't forget our friends at Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Got the best barbecue in St. Louis right there waiting for you. You guys can get your order in the day before to make sure they got your barbecue for you. So, I'm telling you guys, when you get down there, you're going to love it. There's not one thing you could order on the menu that you're going to be sorry that you did. Get down there, say hi to Mike and his staff. And once we get back to normal, whatever the hell that is, make sure you get inside. Cause man, eating inside there with the smell coming out of that kitchen is unbelievable. That's our good friends at Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue to the Gators Baseball Academy, located in Illinois and Missouri. I would highly encourage anybody interested in off-season training or looking for a program for their son or daughter to check out GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. I'm proud to be associated with the organization. I love coaching the kids. I love working with the academy kids. I also like a 9-year-old that walks in the door that says, I just want some help. It's awesome. It's a great thing to watch kids play a game that they love. If you guys are interested, learn more at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. And of course, my friend, Dr. Kirsten Jacobs over at Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness Center, always reminding you that every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. Learn more about her at DrKirstenJacobs.com. Okay, Ron, I think I know where you were going on the trade front. So go ahead and say your piece, and then I have a question for you.
Okay. So Arozarena happened to be part of this deal, and Jose Martinez was the other part that got shipped to Tampa last year in exchange for Libitor and another catcher. I forgot his name already, but look, do we really think in that trade, those are the two names the Cardinals took to the table right off the bat. Do we really think that it was Randy Arozarena and maybe Jose Martinez, but do we really believe it was, hey, here's Randy, take him. We've got too many outfielders trying to clear the way here. Or do you think perhaps that St. Louis did dangle Harrison Bader, did dangle Tyler O'Neill, or did dangle Lane Thomas, and Tampa Bay is not as stupid as the organizations the Cardinals were used to dealing with and didn't want any of those guys, and Arozarena was the guy they wanted. So I think to assume that the Cardinals offered that up first right out of the get-go, I think might be a mistake. You know, maybe that's the guy Tampa Bay actually wanted. So I think some people are looking at it as though the Cardinals just wanted to ship these guys out. Perhaps to get those guys, that's all Tampa Bay wanted. They wanted that guy, not Harrison Bader, not Tyler O'Neill. I think that's the thing to think about in these trades is it's not, you know, nobody's taking your first offer.
I would agree. If you look at that trade, let me ask you a question. If for starters, let's go down this road.
Okay.
So the St. Louis Cardinals obviously felt they had a hole in their minor league system for a certain thing. They've gotten to a certain point at the big league roster to where John Mozeliak has even admitted, no, we're not developing that number three, number four hitter. So we may have to get creative to find it. It was evident that he also recognized that we're not developing that left-handed top of the rotation guy.
Right.
So he found a willing partner in Tampa Bay who said, look, we've got a bunch of prospects, but this is what we're looking for. So here's what I would say to you. Now, this is going to sound kind of silly, but for all of you fantasy baseball players out there, how many trades have you made in fantasy baseball where the first offer you make, somebody just says, clicks accept? Nobody does that. And what I mean by that is it's human nature to go, I know what I'm willing to give up, but boy, it would be a lot better if I gave this up. Now, again, I'm not there. You're not there. We don't know for sure. Okay. But what I will say is, you know, to think that they offered that, I'm not going to sit here and say there's no way they did that, because then what if they did? Then I look stupid, and we'll never know for sure. But it wouldn't make any sense, to your point.
Yeah.
Now, let me say this. If Randy Arozarena was such a can't-miss guy, then what was the need for Jose Martinez for them, too?
Yeah, well, I
if they knew they were going to plug Arozarena in right away, yeah, and he was going to be this dude, I mean, so my point is, it wasn't like, you know, we traded a straight up dude for their straight up dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and again, I don't even know that I really believe that. I'm just saying it out loud because you have to look at the reality of the situation. I hope Rand, because I love baseball as much as I love the Cardinals, and I love to watch great players. Oh, Randy Arozarena goes down there and becomes a Hall of Famer. But let me assure you of something. If he goes there and becomes a Hall of Famer, if he goes there and becomes a Tampa Bay Hall of Famer, not a baseball Hall of Famer, that might be one of the first guys we've traded in God knows how long that we wish we had back.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say in a very long time. The next closest one I can think potentially, Jim, might be Dan Herron that we regretted
for a
little bit. I've
said it for a long time.
Yeah.
Dan Heron's the closest thing to a guy that I think went somewhere else that when it was all said and done, you looked at it and thought, man, I wish we could get him back.
And keep in mind, you know, we traded for less than 2 years removed American League Cy Young winner in Mark Mulder. He had shoulder issues, right? Yeah. And that was what kind of tipped the scale of that trade and Oakland's favor is mainly due to injury. But yeah, that's the closest one I can think of. And look, I think the Cardinals are, hopefully they're taking inventory this year of what's happened with some of these deals, where they may have missed the mark. You know, I'd really like to see them, because, you know, what's the sure thing you can bet on St. Louis for? And that is to develop pitching and have a lot of depth in pitching. They've been really good at that. I just wish they could translate some of that over position-wise, right? And obviously they can develop guys. If a Rosarena ends up being a serviceable and a really good major league player for 10, 12 years, then they've proven, you know, they can develop these guys. But I'd like to see more coming on that side of the diamond, to be honest with you. Look, I love the pitching. We know pitching gets you really, really far. You put a lot of pressure on it, though, when you can't score. So I think I'd love to see some more focus over there.
We'll see what happens. But as far as former Cardinals go, like, they've had guys that were talented that have won other places. Like, would you qualify them in guys that, like, listen, as a player, I like Tommy Pham as a player. And Tommy Pham's name coming up is going to take us to our Patterson Tire and Service text line, where we like to remind everybody that they're a whole lot more than a tire store. You know them for tires and brakes, and you can give them a call at 618-797-6711 and get a quick quote. They can let you know what they can do for you, because remember, there's great pricing and quantity, and they do a ton of work down there at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. But we say Patterson Tire and Service is a whole lot more than a tire store, because if that check engine light's on or the car's not running right, that's the place you want to go. It's the name you know and trust. They've been down in that community for over 40 years. Make sure you check out our friends at Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. This is a good one, and this will probably get me in trouble, but that's fine. Jimbo.
Good.
What's your thoughts on Tommy Pham and his problems that have surfaced in San Diego? Okay. I'm sure this is coming from me saying in the past that Tommy Pham is not a good guy. What I mean by that is I don't really know Tommy Pham, but I've seen him do some things that make me go, he's not a good guy. They're right out there for anybody to see. I've said it on here before. I don't buy the bullshit when the guys got on there and said they thought it was refreshing. I think that was a clubhouse trying to manage a situation, because I just know for a fact nobody likes that. What I will say is this. He was a good player. I've said this too. It's a crime that a guy like Tommy Pham is probably going to leave this game without a big contract. He won't. He'll never sign that mega deal. Now, I'm not saying Tommy Pham is going to be poor. Tommy Pham will make some money. But Tommy Pham, as talented as a player as I think he is, will never have that big deal. As far as what happened, I guess, was it yesterday, day before, whenever it was?
Yeah.
This weekend, whenever it was. It doesn't matter when it was. The only thing I'll say is this. There are weird things happen in this world, but I will ask everybody out there, because, you know, I didn't grow up in the best neighborhood. So I actually know some people that have been stabbed. I do. I know some people that have been stabbed. I know some people that have stabbed some people.
Jesus.
I mean, grew up with them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody. And these are people that I would still call friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's done it twice or been stabbed twice. So again, it's very possible. He just bad luck, wrong place, wrong time twice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody that's twice.
Yeah. I can't
you
speak.
Take
to,
that for what it's worth.
I can't speak to that at all.
That's some bad luck.
Yeah. It's either bad luck or how do you get into a situation twice in your life where you're put in a position
doesn't change the fact of how talented he is on the field.
No.
Zero.
No,
he
it
is
doesn't.
Uber talented. I mean,
yep.
He is about as talented athleticism wise as for a baseball player to be. He can do everything you want him to do. You know, you're talking to a guy that loves a little attitude.
Yeah.
But there are just things that I just think that are too much. And I thought he fit that bill of there was too much there. And ultimately, but he's who he is. He doesn't have to apologize to me or anybody for being who he is.
Yeah, I mean, everybody
but as far as this, no,
feels
again,
a little bit different, right?
I'm speculating. I don't know jack shit. I just, I mean, I think sometimes you got to look at a situation for what it is. The rush to judgment, I don't have a rush to judgment on him. I'm not saying he was involved in this, this, or this, or this. I'm stating a fact. Okay? But people, like, I always love people that hear something and want to jump on that side because that's what they want to believe. Like, immediately people wanted to jump on, he didn't even know those guys. He walked up on that situation. Okay.
Yeah, or use the Carlos Martinez example of going to a casino in Milwaukee and spreading COVID all over your team. Nobody knew what happened. They knew no facts. But if you didn't like Carlos Martinez for his hair or his antics or whatever other reason, as soon as his name came up in a situation, those people jumped all over that. Where, oh, look, you know, it's Carlos Martinez, of course. He's the unnamed player. He's the one that caused it. You see it happen in all kinds of situations. If you're not, I mean, we know there's certain group of people that attack Harrison Bader every time he comes up in anything. If it's a selfie, if it's a bobblehead, anything, any chance they get to jump all over his case, they do. So you see it in a lot of different situations. And if you don't like a player, you don't like a player, and that's what happens.
Well, I can promise you this. I like Tommy Pham as a player.
I did too. You know, at a time when you had a very bland Cardinals dugout and not a lot of, just felt like, well, of course, Yadier Molina is always the exception. But when you had a kind of a bland clubhouse, not a lot of fight, you felt when you watched him on TV, that's the one guy that had a little bit of attitude. So when he was here, I kind of liked that on the field.
Here's the problem. And again, there's a big difference between being an exciting, competitive guy and then being a confrontational guy.
Yeah, I could think of another one in Chicago. For me, it's okay. Wilson Contreras.
You can think whatever you want to think. They are different, and they're totally different. Yeah. Especially when, and again, you cannot like it. I don't really care. I'm telling you the reality of it. Especially when you're in a locker room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? And people wanted to jump on and say it was refreshing because these guys are boring, and they're bland, and they don't care. Well, I promise you they care. You can't get to the big leagues not caring. It's impossible. I don't think people understand the toll, especially mentally, the game takes on you.
It feels like Colby Rasmus might be the one guy that could argue against you a little bit.
I agree.
That, but
listen, let me tell you something. I thought Matt Holliday was a good player. I never thought he was great. There are people that thought he was great. Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought he was a good player, fine player. Did you ever watch Matt Holliday play baseball? He looked like he didn't give a shit.
Well, you could almost say the same thing about Scott Rolen too at times.
Jim Edmonds?
Yep.
Believe me, they cared.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, cared a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, they all handle it different. They all handle it different. Looks, not every guy pouts when they strike out. Scott Rolen took his batting gloves off and dropped them and walked over to third base. I mean, that's how he did it.
And I'm not saying one's right, one's wrong. What I'm saying is there's a complete different. And again, you cannot like it. I don't even care. I'm telling you, nobody in a clubhouse likes people that bring issue and confrontation. They don't like it. Okay? Don't like it.
So what we're saying is that there was some of that there.
Obviously, like, right? I'm not even making that up. That's not even an assumption. You can go find it yourself on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, I promise you. Not one guy who came out and said, yeah, it's nice and refreshing to have Tommy here with his competitive attitude are okay with some of that stuff. They don't want to be around it. They don't want to be associated with it either.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting. Now, I don't recall reading a ton of that, but.
That being said, I said this 100 times over when we signed Dexter Fowler. We had a better version of Dexter Fowler and Tommy Pham. I've said, if Tommy Pham doesn't get hurt, was it the year before? We never spend that money on Dexter Fowler.
Yeah, you might be right. Well, and then
Tommy Pham's clock starts soon. Like, the whole thing changes for Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham was an unlucky guy.
Yeah. Well, unlucky guy, and he does have, you know, I tend to agree with, you know, some of his bitterness was just opportunity. And, you know, you brought up the Brandon Moss getting 90 at bats, you know, at the end of the year. He was one of the victims of that, right? So,
let me ask you this question. I have no idea what was going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason, right? And like I said, I I mean, I've inquired enough that I think I know the answer.
Yeah, you know something. That's fine.
Okay. But my point is, okay, if certain people may have handled themselves differently, maybe that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I mean, we see that happen all the time. Or at least we hear about it after the fact.
And listen, the bottom line is it's years later or it was a month later, and whether it's you, me, or whoever, you can look at it after the fact and go, that was wrong. That was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And just like we do in everyday life. I mean, we do it every day. We all go to work. We all make decisions. We all do things based on all the information, not just what a couple people on the outside see, because that's easy to do. Mm-hmm. Now, what I will say in defense of myself and everybody out there that wants to be critical, well, I thought we were in the business of winning, right? To my knowledge, the same people that want to say, this is not the minor leagues, this is not developmental, this is the big leagues, right? This is where it goes down for real, okay? To my defense and everybody out there that wants to be critical, you can't have it both ways. If you're telling me this is it, then God darn it, play the best players. Don't give me some bullshit about this guy's a dick or this guy's an asshole or you don't really realize. Like, I don't want to hear that. I've always heard this. Benji says this all the time. If the guy's on the roster, man, he's going to get used. If he's any good at all. Okay, well, you put him on the roster, and I've said this. I don't care if Matt Carpenter makes $18 million a year, and we'll use a Rosarena. If Matt Carpenter makes $18 million, well, you know, I'll use Dexter Fowler. It's a better example.
Yeah.
Dexter Fowler makes $15 million a year. Randy Rosarena makes the league minimum. That means combined they make $16 million. What is the difference? Which one's sitting on the bench and which one's playing?
Yeah, it's
other than that bullshit about, well, you know, you don't want to get known as a place where, you know, guy. Now, here's what I will say. Okay? People think that's just the Cardinals. It's not. Look across baseball. It happens everywhere.
Of course. I mean, Jason
Hayward, not very good for the Cubs, but he kept playing.
Yeah.
You can look. There's all kinds of guys that are terrible that make a bunch of money that just keep getting played.
Yeah. And I kind of understand why, right? You made that choice. You made that investment. You're going to ride it out until you just can't anymore, right? And some people just think that way, and sometimes it plays itself out that way. But there's no arguing against that. I'd rather see, you know, whoever's filling out your lineup card should be giving you the best chance night in and night out to win the game, regardless of who's making what, who has what left on their contract, who's done what in the past. It really needs to be, you know, put those guys out there. They're going to give us the best chance to win tonight.
Chris Bryant play this year in Chicago. He was terrible.
He was.
Kept playing.
He was.
Kept playing. You can go through every team.
I mean, A-Rod, they even sat A-Rod's ass at one point. The guy at a level he achieved with the stardom he achieved, he even sat down. So.
Listen, you sit him sometimes, but then they try to get him going again because of the investment. Yeah, it happens everywhere. It's not just here.
In football, it's even funnier. It took the Bears forever to finally sit Trubisky because they you know, it's such a high draft pick for them. And I don't know why I went on a football tangent there, but it's kind of the same thing. They took forever to finally sit him down, and you see it happen in baseball. You see it happen.
Well,
in every
and
sport.
Here's another thing too. Again, as a fan, what I will say is, I know I'm not. I'll speak for myself. I won't speak for anybody else. It's real easy for me to make it like 100% the "what have you done for me lately." There is a reason why this guy is a paid veteran and this guy is a rookie, an unproven rookie, mm-hmm. mind you. The proven guy has done enough in his career to make you believe that he's going through a rough time, but when I get him going, I know it. And let's face it, I got to get him going. Now, how many times can you go to that well? See, that's my issue.
Yeah, right.
How many times do you keep going to the well of, I got to get him going, I got to get him going? And again, if this was, and since it's become the Randy Rosarena show, and I think it logically should be.
Well, I think it illustrates kind of everything else that's happened, right? That's the one deal, but it illustrates all kinds of things.
So what I will say is, in closing, really, because this is, I think, enough said. If you wanted to tell me, okay, and again, I'll say some things that people won't like, but I'm trying to be logical, which sometimes logic doesn't always play, but in this instance, I think it does. If John Mozeliak sat next to me and said, Randy, look, Jim, this is business too. He was not going to play. We had money invested. We traded for and had money invested in Marcell Ozuna. I would go, okay. Okay. And God darn it, we gave Dexter Fowler a 5-year contract worth so much money. And you know, Dex could, and I, as much as I might disagree with it, I would go, okay. And I'd look right at him and go, you have no money invested in Harrison Bader. He is an unproven rookie that has done nothing to make you believe that this is a guy that should play center field for you for the next 10 years, in my opinion. And there would not be one thing that John Mozeliak could tell me that I would go, okay, that makes sense. Unless there's something about Randy or Rosarena that we don't know.
Yeah.
Now, that's very possible. Like, again, I'm using this as a complete example because it's already come up. If I used Tommy Pham and John Mozeliak looked at me and shook his head and go, are you serious? Do you realize what a pain in the ass this guy was? And John Mozeliak might look at me and go, it's not good business to have a guy like that. It's just not. Like, I know he's a good player, would have loved to have had him on the field. No, out. I would sit there and say, well, I mean, it is the big leagues, man. Come on, like, dude, does everybody have to be a choir boy? I would say that. Mm-hmm. But if he told me that because it is a business, and whether we want to admit it or not, his ultimate lot in life is to run a business.
Yeah.
I would at least walk away from there going, okay.
They had a reason, right? And you
had a reason.
Yeah. And you've probably seen it in your professional career, Jim, where you've worked with people that are outstanding at their jobs, but their personalities aren't the right fit for the organization, 100%. And they're out.
And what happens every all day, the time.
Not just sports.
But I promise you this, there is not one thing other than, there's nothing it can be with Harrison Bader other than our people that evaluate talent feel that ultimately in the end he's going to be the better player. That is the only thing you can tell me about Harrison Bader playing over a Rosarena. That's the only thing you can say. And if that's the statement, which you, and I'm going to, I said this was going to be it, but it's not true. If you were going to tell me that, I would say, well, it looks like you were wrong.
Or when are we going to see it? Right? I mean, if you're now, seeing it, when are we going
to? Here's the last part that you touched on earlier that has now come full circle. The St. Louis Cardinals have a surplus of outfielders. Maybe in their opinion, they think they're all pretty close. Tampa Bay comes and says, okay, we got the pitching prospect you want. This is what it costs. The St. Louis Cardinals go, well, maybe in the long run, we think a Rosarena might be that guy. But God, we've got other guys, mm-hmm. and we can get Liberatore. Okay. We're going to do this deal because we know we get Liberatore.
Yeah.
And if that was it, okay. Now, you can sit here and go, well, they chose wrong, Jim, because a Rosarena is way better than Bader. No, did they? Because if they come back and go, we're not including a Rosarena, does Tampa Bay walk away from the table?
I think they very well could have, Jim.
They may have. We don't know the answer to that question.
We don't. But if I'm a guessing man, we had seen, I'm not saying enough, but there's a pretty good sample size of what you had in Harrison Bader at the major league level by the time that trade had happened. He got shipped back down to AAA, by the way, I think within that month. You really think Tampa Bay was seeing what they wanted to see out of him? I would say no. I would bet a large sum of money that they didn't want him.
You know, listen, they may have 1,000 different excuses or reasons why. You know, listen, in the end, I think, you know, my guess is he'd probably look at us, me, you, and everybody, and go, well, you got to give something to get something.
Yep, that's true.
And we're hot now. The problem is,
especially with a team like Tampa Bay.
We haven't seen Liberatore pitch really at the major league level.
Right.
You know, and I think what the Cardinals would say is, well, that's why that was a deal to be made. A Rosarena was ready to go, was ready. You know, we had a surplus of outfielders, right?
Yep.
They had Harrison Bader, Tyler O'Neill, and Lane Thomas. And John Mozeliak may look at me, you, and everybody and go, okay, you want to know the truth? The truth is, of the four, they wouldn't make the deal without a Rosarena.
Yeah.
Of course we would have rather traded O'Neill. Of course we would have rather traded Lane Thomas. Of course we would have rather traded Harrison Bader.
Yeah.
They said it had to be a Rosarena. And we think that he's a can't-miss left-handed pitching prospect.
Yeah.
To your point, a top 100 player, a Rosarena is not. So maybe the St. Louis Cardinals said we took a calculated risk, and while, yes, on the short side, it looks like a bad one, mm-hmm. we'll wait a couple years and reserve judgment.
Yeah, that's why this deal here is very much a TBD. Right, to be honest, we got to see how the kid develops, and if he can help out in the rotation, I don't care if he's an ace or not, but if he can be a two or three guy and solid for, you know, 5 or 6 years at the big league level, it might, you know, that we might look at that trade different. I don't know. We'll see. I mean,
listen, it to be determined.
Yep.
I mean, who knows? But does it suck watching a Rosarena do all this right now, knowing that he could have been doing it for you? Of course.
After seeing our outfield gym, yes, and I think that's why people feel the way they feel right now.
Though. And they have every right to be that way.
Yep.
We didn't even I guess we'll save it for next week.
Yeah,
because there's plenty of time to talk about what are we going to do.
Yeah, well, you know, and we'll save that. I'm looking forward to having that conversation. But how are you doing? I know this isn't a hockey podcast, but how are you doing? With Pietrangelo moving on to Vegas as a Blues fan. I wanted to ask you that before we hit record, but I didn't get a chance.
Well, I'll let you know a little secret. So the truth is, I'm not doing the Blues podcast anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, you're a big Blues fan, though, so that's why I wanted to ask.
Well, I turned it completely over to my buddy Gary, and obviously Darren and Jamie and Gary. Like, the truth is, the last year was really hard for me to do. People are going to find this odd. I kind of lost my love for hockey. I don't know why. I have no idea why. It was the weirdest thing ever. It got hard. Mm-hmm. Like, it's weird, man. You know how, like some guy keeps breaking a girl's heart, keeps breaking her heart, and she takes him back, and she takes him back, and she takes him back, and then eventually he does something, and she won't take him back?
Is that what happened?
It doesn't matter how much he's changed. You know, you see the movies, right? He's completely changed for the better, but the woman's moved on.
It's too late.
That happened to me with the Blues and the whole Stanley Cup thing. It is the most amazing thing that I've followed Blues hockey since I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
Played hockey my whole life. Love it. Loved everything about it. I completely lost interest in it. The way they started that season was the straw that broke my back. And it's almost like I was the black cat, because the minute I'm telling you the truth, it was hard for me to do the show. I couldn't even watch games. I'm coming in reading about the game, trying. And all I really did on the show was try to lead these guys down the path they wanted to talk, because I wasn't offering anything.
Okay. So you've taken a step back. So
yeah. And honest to God, like, it was painful. This year was when we did it until COVID hit, it was painful for me to do it. I there were times Jamie would be like, hey, we're going to do this with the Stanley Cup. You want to? And I'd be like, nah. It's like, really? Nah. Like, wow. It's amazing. Even the Stanley Cup couldn't bring me back. Now, I still like the Blues. If they're on TV, I might watch them. Mm-hmm. But my love and passion for it just went away. I don't have it like I do for baseball. Like, I love baseball.
Wow.
So I'm
okay.
Not even doing it anymore. Okay. And the truth is, I was never the biggest Pietrangelo fan. Is he a fine? He's a good player. Mm-hmm. Do I think he's a top defenseman in the league? No, I don't. I do think he played some unbelievable hockey for about a 3-month stretch. That's just my opinion.
All right. I mean, that'll be the last Blues question you get from me.
Well, I really don't care. Like, Gary had sent me a text, Torey Krug, and I was like, my exact answer to him was back, you know, I really don't care anymore, but I do think it's funny.
Okay.
You know, honestly, people are going to make a ton of excuses for that one, but don't make it harder than it is. This guy's a pretty good GM. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, he moved on awful quick. And it ain't like he went out and got chopped liver.
Yeah.
He went out and got a pretty good guy, mm-hmm. which tells you all you need to know, I think.
Well, you know what? Sometimes I like that. I like that decisiveness. You picked a direction. You didn't waste any time, and you got yourself prepared for next year. You know, there's part of me that appreciates that.
Yeah.
All right. So that concludes our two birds on a bat's Blues coverage.
You're not going to hear Doug Armstrong come out and go, "Well, we think Torrey Krug's just as good or better," but not going to hear him say that. He's not going to disrespect Alex Pietrangelo.
You know, it reminds me of though, Jim.
But actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, sure. You know what? And it reminds me a little bit of one time, one instance, Mazalak, I think, did a preemptive strike, and that was re-signing Lance Berkman to an extended year into 2012, and then immediately going out and getting Carlos Beltran as soon as Pujols walked. It was kind of those, sort of reminds me of that. Yeah,
for sure. That was a business move. That was a GM going, you know what? No, he's not Albert Pujols, but he's pretty damn good, and we're going to get him for something that we're comfortable with.
Yep.
And we're not going to miss a beat, and we're going to be just fine. And were they just fine out? I mean, they were pretty good.
They were pretty good. Hey, look.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. Pujols is my favorite player ever. It's fine. Yeah. I got no problem with it. I got no problem with the hockey thing, the way it works out. But here's the thing, man. We get emotional about it as fans, whereas teams have proven to us, whether it's the St. Louis Blues or the St. Louis Cardinals, the Rams when they were here, it doesn't matter who it is. We get emotional. We get pissed off. We take things. They have proven to us, the players too. I'm not just talking about the teams. The players as well have proven to us time and time again that it is a business.
Yep.
It is a business.
Exactly right.
Listen, it is no different than some guy who could give two shits about the Cardinals or the Blues being upset when they take the McRib away every year. It's a business. There's a reason the McRib's not on the menu every day.
It's too much. It's like, it'd be like having...
Absence makes the heart grow fonder at McDonald's, obviously.
It's like having Miller at third base every day. You can't have him at third base every day, right? Like,
there's no other reason not to have the McRib on the menu every day other than the McDonald's people believe that if it was on there every day, it would grow stale. But when they bring it back, man, they can't keep it in stock.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Is Brad Miller the McRib of the St. Louis Cardinals roster right now?
I don't think Brad Miller is, no. I think that's a guy. I mean, that is a typical St. Louis Cardinal guy that you fall in love with over a month, and then you get, hey, maybe you did. Maybe you ordered a McRib and then realized you were eating a plain Big Mac, I guess.
There you go.
Or McDonald's. But listen, I honestly, all sports have proven to us time and time again that it's a business, and yet we get so emotional. But that's okay. I love it. I'm not going to let the team dictate my passion. Mm-hmm. I'm passionate. My hope is that they will do. Listen, my hope, just like everybody out there, is that they're going to do what I want them to do. I want them to do this, this, and this. And there's no guy out there that's going to give me enough numbers to change what I want. Now I can get educated and say, this sounds good or this looks good. But if I don't like Harrison Bader, there is not one guy out there who's going to convince me he's better than he is. The numbers people, Harrison Bader's a great example. You can use some numbers and supposedly he's better than he is, and he's not. I don't need any numbers to know that Mookie Betts is great and Mike Trout is great and so and on and on and on. You don't have to give me one number. Why? Because all they do is go out and perform. But when you have a guy that seems to suck a lot and you got to come and hit me with a bunch of numbers and tell me he really doesn't suck, that's not good.
Well, there's another one I hear, kind of reverse case of what you're talking about, Jim, always revolves around Yadier Molina. Look, if there is a situation where a runner has to be moved over, you have to do the right thing with the bat in a situation. There is no other player I want up at the plate more on the Cardinals Well, I know he's going to be free agent, but you follow me here. There's the Cardinal I want at the plate in a situation where something needs to be done to move a runner over.